others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Amen. And we know God will bless the reading of his precious word. Can we all just please bow for a short word of prayer? Father in heaven, we thank thee once again for the privilege which is ours to draw nigh unto thee. Thank thee, O God, again for the scriptures of truth. We thank thee therein, Lord, as the living word. And we ask of thee now, O God, to take that word and apply it, Lord, to hearts, Lord, here tonight. Thank thee, O God, again for all who are gathered in. And, O God, we pray above all, Lord, that you would move, that, Lord, all that would be said and done here tonight would bring honour and glory to thy name. For Christ's sake we pray. Amen. I would just like to say a few words here that the Lord Jesus Christ has made it very clear in his word of what we are, who he is, why he's came to the earth, and why he's coming back. And what we are tells us in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are all sinners, each and every one of us. Who he is tells us in Psalm 33:12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Why he's coming back, we read in 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And then why he's coming back. John 14:3 says, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And here tonight, I would just like to say that when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back again, there are no chances. There are no second chances. We read in Thessalonians there that he shall be revealed from heaven with his angels, with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, from time to time, whenever I would have the family altar with my own children and wife, as we would sit down and open up the word, I would often put it to them and say, as we read the scripture, as we read now this passage, I want you to ask yourself, where are you in the passage? And here tonight, again, I would just like to put that to you all. And as we have read the Word of God here tonight, and as I will be referring back to it, I would like just to, for you to ask yourself, where do you stand here in these verses? I thank God that here tonight, even again as I have read them, that I see myself twice in this passage. And I thank God again that from these verses, in chapter 2 of Ephesians, from verse 1 through to 10, and if you read it closely, you will see the past, the present, and the future. So, as I have said, it's my lot here tonight to share with you, and as we have read in the very first verse, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. And I thank God that I stand here tonight and to share with you how the Lord quickened me. Some of you already do know me, and some here have heard my testimony before, but I hope the Lord will bless you and you'll just suffer with us. But I was born, as I'm sure you've recognised by the accent, in Ballymena. I was born in a wee hospital, a cottage hospital, which would be where I would live. We would class it as the top end of the town. I was born there on the 24th day of the 6th month, 1960. And there, in that hospital, as I said before, although a child born, the second child born into the family at that time, although my parents not Christians, sad to say, but I can say now, behold, I was shaped in iniquity. And then sin did my mother conceive me there in June of 1960. I grew up in a little street called Keene Street. Now that street would be, maybe more of us then would know, the Harryville end of the town. It's not there now. But as I grew up there in that street, it was there from a very early age that I was taken along and to Sunday school, and it was there that I had heard the gospel. Now, I have to thank the Lord again for his servants, those who go out and reach the lost. For that's what Gene was. Gene, many, many years ago, went on to be with Christ. But Gene came faithfully, let me say, Sunday by Sunday and Monday by Monday. Gene didn't live very far away from where I was brought up. But yet, maybe from the age of maybe six, seven, I'm not honestly sure. But I do know this, that Gene came faithfully until I was a young teenager. 14 years of age is the last known time in my life whenever I left off going to hear the Word of God and going to sing choruses. But as I have said, I do now, I thank God for His servants, but I, at that time in my life, would rather kept company with the children who had the spirit that worked of disobedience. I would rather have walked according to the course of this word. I never, and I do not stand here tonight and blame the company. You see, as I did attend for many years, I attended Sunday school, I attended a Monday night meeting. But yet, you see, there was no work of grace done in my life, even after all those years. I was still dead in trespasses and in sins, as we read, or have read, in these verses. I was still dead in trespasses and sins, and as I have said, although I received many prizes and Bibles, texts of Scripture, still I come to a point in my life where I had no interest. I had no time for God. I had no time for anything, absolutely, what to do then with that part of my life, which, without fail, Sunday and Monday, that was where you would have found me. So, as I say then, from this early age, I left, and I can even remember at one time when I should have been in the meeting. Yet I'd have been away, getting up to all sorts of mischief. I did then, from those early years, start to run around the area then where I lived. And as I've already said, that would, the horrible end of the town, it would still be classed the loyalist end. I can remember, and while we do not want to dwell much on the past, yet I must at least let you know what the Lord has delivered me from. And as a young boy, I can remember at the age of 16, I can remember walking in Harrowville, and these two men who had came along, and their words were something to this effect: "Would you not like to do something for your country?" I, of course, at that time, yes, I couldn't wait, and that entailed, not long after that, stand and taking an oath. And there I was swearing my allegiance then to a paramilitary group at the age of 16. And I, unknown obviously to my parents or my family, but yet I felt this great sense of importance. And here I was, or so I thought, we'll get something done now for Ulster. And as I look back now, what a waste of time and utter nonsense. I was told from that night on, there'll be no more up the top of the town. I couldn't understand that, but yet it wasn't too long till I was asked, "You'll be at the market on Saturday morning with a collection tent." Now, when I was 16, I don't know about you, but on a Saturday morning, I was hard to shift out of bed. I enjoyed my sleep. But if I hadn't have been at the market, I would have received the baiting. So there I, of course, my parents, especially my mother, wondering what was I doing up so early in the morning. But, of course, lies, they come easy. So I was at the market, and I've been doing this off and on, until one Saturday morning, as I was standing, who walked round the corner but my mother and father. And I just went in a shock. And my mother, she says, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm helping him." Just lies, as I say, they came easy. And the fellow who was standing across from me, you know, my father, I guess, he took my mother on. I was expecting a serious talking to you later on, but it never came. So as I carried on, I as I say, collecting and stuff like that, and through different activities, I can remember one night, even at that age, receiving a phone call. And the phone call was that I was to go and to get this rifle where it was and take it and hide it. So this is just to give you an idea of some of the things that I was involved in. Now, I ask you to remember, I was 14 years of age, up to 14, from a very young age, where I had left off attending meetings where I had heard about Christ, where I had heard the truth. Now, as it carried on, as I have said, that I... obviously, yes, for time, but there was much more. But in another instance, I was coming near the end of my 16th birthday, or the age of 16, when there was an invite to a darts match. And remember, now I'm 16. The dart match was in an army camp. I had been saving up for a motorcycle. I had almost £600 saved, which was a lot of money. But they were talking to go to this match, and as I went up, there was no way I was being allowed in the door. But the two fellas that was along with me, they had no money. I had the money. So they bargained in the doorman. Anyway, eventually I got in. I can remember anyway that night, whiskey was my drink. So it wasn't long until I certainly had no senses. But the thing was, as I left drunk, there was a man received a beating that night, and that involved, of course, them being brought to the police station the next morning and remanded in custody on the charge of GBH with intent. I don't remember much about it, but I am not saying that I was any better than those that were there. But what I'm saying to you tonight is that so soon after I left off where I had been singing choruses and songs about Christ, my life just was in a downward spiral. So here I brought shame to the home. And at a very early age, I can remember that was my first time going into Belfast at night in a police car and all the lights. It was all new to me, 16 years of age, but I was heading to Rathgale to be remanded. So, as I say, here I was, 17 years of age. Maybe shortly after that, we got bail. And when I got out, I just then took the drink. I never got the motorcycle, but I certainly got a taste for the more of the ways of the world. So, eventually, as we came to court, I just turned 17. I received my first prison sentence of 3 years. As well as that, there were other activities, you see, with my life. And so I was brought before the courts in Belfast with the UVF of the town, and there received a further 6.5, almost 7 years. So I spent my 18th birthday, my 19th in prison. And sad to say that there was others. But I can remember that time just before the sentence. The solicitor said to me, with this charge, I was standing on a boy of 16, and he says it carries 10 years to life. And I laughed. He says, I don't see what's funny. But I just couldn't take this in that I could be getting a life sentence. But the intent was dropped, and as I said, 3 years. But, of course, whenever I was released, there was all sorts of promises. But while I was in prison, I had attended the services. There was a Sunday service. But again, here I was, grown up, in my teenage years, if you like. And now, instead of being as verse 2 tells us, the children, I grow on them now. I want it now to fulfill the lusts of the mind and the flesh. So, of course, as I've said, there was plenty of promises. I'll never do this again. I'll mend my ways. My mother even said that she would send me off to England, but ideas change. But here I was still on the broad road. Now you might think that after coming from the life, the early life that I was, that being brought then to where I'd come to, did this make me think? Did it make me think about Sunday school? No. Did it make me think about the Monday night meetings? Jean, the servant? My parents? No. Did it bring me to repentance? No. My own ideas of what I was going to do. I would do this. And I, as I said, then eventually I was released, but still I was on the broad road. Still on the broad road that leads to destruction. And yet, the Bible says, be not wise in thy own eyes, but fear the Lord and depart from evil. That's what God's word says. Yet here is where I thought I would find my happiness. I never, as I've said, You know, as I look back now, I can say that no doubt the Lord works mysterious ways. As Jean Yes had, as I have said, died, gone on to be with the Lord. My mother, really, she was trying to hold the home together because my father, he was a drunkard. Not a drunkard as in he didn't work, but he still liked to be in the pubs at the weekend. That brought a lot of misery, but so, as I have said, we were getting older, and I had a girlfriend at this time, and again, sad they say, children. Not sad because I had children, but because of the condition I was in when I was blessed with them. You see, I believe that the Lord works in mysterious ways. And even though a long life's journey for us all, there will be times, yes, you've maybe made mistakes. And but then there'll be times whenever you think you've done something good. And I can remember again one weekend when I was in the town on the drink. I had come home, which was something that was rare for me. But I'd heard this crying. This is what woke me on a Saturday morning. And I wasn't too far away, but as I looked out, the one that was two doors away, and my neighbour was crying, and the smoke coming out of her house. So I never thought, I just run. As I ran to her home, she was squealing. She had a child of a few months old. And anyway, she wouldn't let go of the child, but me and my neighbour, Mark, between us, we done the best we could. We got the amount, although we didn't know at this time. Sandy Lee, a young girl, maybe 9 years of age, she had lost her life. And through that, we had received from the RUC certificates. And when something like that comes along in your life, there can be pride get into your heart. You think for some reason that maybe in your heart of hearts, maybe you'll be accepted with God. You seem to forget all of the bad that you've done, and this good always seems to come up. And yet the Bible says, God, has God seen that? That was a self-righteousness. That was a filthy rag. I found no favour even with that in God's eyes. That certainly wouldn't have took me to heaven. But as I've said, as that passed on through that situation, I had also received the first Bible I was to own outside of the Sunday school classes. And as I said, God works in mysterious ways, because the man who bought me that Bible, he and I pray together in the men's prayer meeting. So we do. As I've said, thinking back, I've mentioned, and I made mention of Jean being a servant of God. And Jean came faithful. And as I've said, Jean being passed on, the Lord, as the Bible tells us, who is rich in mercy, had sent another servant across my path. That servant by the name of Stephen. And Stephen was a drinker at a time, just like myself. And Stephen had got saved early on in his Christian life, heard the call to the ministry. And so he set out then to win souls. Although whenever Stephen came along, as I said, it's very easy to tell lies. There's no trouble getting an excuse for not being able to make a meeting. I had them all, I believe. And I, of course, told Stephen. that he, I will go along with him time and time and time again, yet I had no interest. I had no time. But again in my life, I can look back now and I can say with assurance that I can see the hand of God in my life. The Bible tells us the Lord knoweth them that are his. You see, coming round July time, the middle of the year, was a bad time for me. And as Colin has rightly mentioned, a big part of my life was the bands. And the Bible also says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. The band, well, to me was a god. I can remember whenever my wife had the first child, she says, that's you, boy, you'll be, Friday night will do you. And because of this child, you'll not be praying two nights, Friday, Saturday, the weekend, no more. So along came Ashley, and she says, that's definitely it. And then the third child, then the fourth child, and I was still in the band. You see, as the weekends came about, I was never responsible, or I never would have owned up to my responsibilities. While, as I said, I had children, young children at the time, I still wanted to be out there in the broad road, walking according to the course of this world. And as I have said, the bands, is that time of the year, always I either would have been remanded, I could have been in prison, I could have just got out, I would have been bound over, I would have had a fine over my head, or I would have been waiting to attend court. I cannot honestly here remember how long I ever had that space where I never had something, a dark cloud over my head, as it were. And so here I was, as I said, getting ready again for the parades, and I believe it was, I think, Ronaldstown, but I said anyway, I just got released from prison this year. And I said I was fed up getting left. So this time, I'm going to stay at the road. I had the uniform set down to where I was to parade. Shoes polished, and I said to the brother, I says, we'll just head away. Yet drink was never far away, you see. So we headed in Sharkland. There was trouble in Sharkland, of course. And we had the loan of my father's car at the time. We left and we went to Sharkland. There was a big crowd there. There was a lot of shouting and roaring. Anyway, there was a fight that broke out. And I, being well, I wouldn't move, and well, of course, what happened was there was a good presence of the police, but I can't really remember much, to be honest, because I was knocked unconscious. Now, I really don't know. As I say, I can remember arguing, but then I remember waking up in the Royal Victoria. And in between this, I had received a beating with sticks. And again, as I've said, I can look back and see God's hand in my life. Because even whenever, as I've said many times, my family didn't recognize me in the hospital. Here I was in a bed. And there was a man, of course I didn't know that at the time, but he had been struck with a plastic bullet. They didn't know who was who, just with this board, clipboard at the end of the bed. Now, as I was in the Royal getting attended, I was taken along to the theatre. Again, God's servant came across my path in the form of our moderator. And he stopped the trolley as I was heading to the theatre. and he prayed for me. So again, when I got was on the mend, as I remember one night sitting out in the porch, and a cousin of mine coming in, and she turned and walked out again. So such were the injuries. Was I thankful to God? No. You see, I was still unregenerated. Now, I didn't like Roman Catholics. And the bitterness within my heart just deepened since that. So, as I left the hospital, again, as I said, a lot of injuries. I can say, there again, I just carried on in sin. Stephen again kept coming back. Stephen came to the hospital, kept coming back to home, and the next thing was, he was inviting me again to meetings. Stephen invited me to a meeting. Of course, this night I said, yes, I'll go. And I went to that meeting, and the first excuse I had was, I have nothing to wear. That's a famous excuse, by the way. But again, Stephen, he says, well, don't you worry, I'll get you sorted. And Stephen dressed me up in clothes that I never, ever would have wore. Like, when I went to the meeting, those people, it was in Ballyclare in a wee hall, and these people were singing, they were happy, they were cheerful, and I just didn't fit at all. But the man who was testifying was a man who was saved by the grace of God in prison. He was quickened by God, and this man told his testimony, and I must be honest here tonight, I couldn't wait to get away out of the meeting. I couldn't wait to get out. And if you get a picture of me now, I want them in a pretty set, earrings, tattoo, long hair. I wasn't much to look at, but I tell you, the thing about it was, I knew there was a God that night. And you see, the darkness and light doesn't mix. I couldn't wait to get away from the meeting. And so, sad to say, here we were, another chance. The Lord had sent a servant. I'd came, I'd heard the word, I'd heard the testimony. But on and on I went again, as I said. And in my life, just the weekends were getting longer and the weeks shorter. So I was just taken to the drink. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And so, while, as I say, another weekend, this weekend now, in March, I had been in and out of prison. I had been, my life was carrying on, and here I was. But this night, being different, the 28th of March, 1998. I left home that day, and I remember I'd met up with my brother. He had asked me to, you know, did I want to head all up around the town? No. I said, I'll stay here. Again, as I said, the Lord works in mysterious ways. But later on that night, there I was, and I was standing later on in a public house. And again, Stephen came. I didn't know at the time, but Stephen had been over at my home. You see, Stephen, prior to this, had invited me to a meeting. I had told lies. I never went. But Stephen kept coming back. He was a faithful servant. And yet, that night, Stephen says, Rodney, I would like you to come. I would like you to meet a man. He was sitting in the car. This was in Henry Street in Harrieville. Not far from where I grew up. Not far from where I heard the gospel as a young boy. And here I was, I came out to meet this man, and I went to shake his hand. He was sitting in a car. And he says, Rodney, he says, I was a drug addict, but I got saved. His name was Mark. I'd never seen him before in my life. And as I shook Mark's hand, tears started to run down my face. Remember, I was the center of attention. I, as far as I was concerned, was where I could find happiness. I left home that morning. I had absolutely no time for the Lord. No time at all to talk about him or anything whatsoever to do with him. Yet here I was about 11:30 on the 28th of March 1998. And I was standing on the footpath just the side of the road beside the car, and I was crying like a child. And Stephen says, Rodney, would you like to get into the car? So Mark got out, I got into the front of the car. I was wondering where you would like to go. And I says, take me to my sister's, who lived about 2 or 3 miles out of the town. When I left, and I went to the sister's, unknown to me. This was Saturday night. The Thursday prior to that, my sister was praying. She was a believer. Her faith was being tested, and she was praying unto the Lord with her daughter. And she had been praying, and her prayer was, Lord, bring one of the family in. So, here I was, and I had come to the house, almost, 12 o'clock, I'm not sure of the time. But as I came to her home, I walked round and round her home, and up and down her garden, for almost 4.5 hours, crying. I did not know, I must be honest, what enemy was up. But Stephen never left me. I remember Stephen saying, Rodney, he says, I believe the Lord's speaking to you. He says, I believe it's time for you to call on the Lord. And I wanted to get back to where I was. Unknown to me then, there was a spiritual battle going on. God's word says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And I only knew, as I said, even at that time, I didn't know a verse. I kind of stumbled over John 3:16, but here I was, walking up and down a garden, crying. And I couldn't honestly tell you all of my conversation with Stephen, but I know he was asking me, Rodney, that I was to think about it and call the Lord. Eventually, I came into the house, into the kitchen. As I came into the kitchen, now Stephen didn't get down, he didn't say Rodney get down, and he didn't lead me in prayer. My prayer wasn't a big, long, stretched out prayer. But I knew I was troubled, and I had come to a point. And my prayer in that house that night, as I looked up, I says, Lord, I want you to save me. I says, Lord, I want you to take me from the life I'm living, for I'm fed up with. You see, I came as I was, a sinner. I called on the name of the Lord. I can't even remember. Stephen wasn't nowhere near me. I was standing beside the door, just as you go into the kitchen. But there's one thing that I know. I didn't know this verse then. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. When I called on the Lord Jesus Christ that night, I knew I had a peace in my heart. And I never had that peace in all the years that I spent in the broad road. I never knew it. The Bible also says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Here I was, 2 or 3 miles outside of town. I'm not sure what time of the morning it was at this time, but there wasn't a dry eye in the house. My brother-in-law says, Rodney, would you like a bowl of broth? It must have been about 4:30, 5 o'clock. I just says, no. I left the home that night, and I went into Ballymena town. remember I left Balaam in a town, living my life, dead in trespasses and sins, walking according to the course of this world, a child with a spirit in him of disobedience. When I left that, my sister at the kitchen that night, and I went to Balamina, I knocked a man out of bed. And he actually sent his daughter down. His daughter, a young girl, she opened the letterbox, wouldn't open the door. He must remember, you see, that he renewed me. What's he doing at this time of night at my door? I said, tell him I want him. And when he came down, I told him. I says, I get saved. And when I went in, we sat and we talked. My sister was there. She had took me. When I came home, my wife had heard every lie and excuse in the book. But my sister, being with me then, turned around and says, it's different than I. Because Ronnie got saved. Well, my wife got up and she started to hoover. I don't know what time this was. It was breaking daylight. When I lay down the settee to sleep, never a sleep like that. I had a sleep. I had rest because I had the peace of God in my heart. Whenever I got up, my daughter, and as I took her to the park, I knocked another door. And I told another friend, he says, I believe the devil of hell could be saved. And onto the park, and as I came back home, the first fella I met going into the state was the fella who I thought was a friend. And he was telling me about his weekend and what he'd done. I couldn't tell you two words he said, but it was in my mind. I says, I must tell this man I got saved. I told him. I says, I got saved last night. When I left, and I went up the hill, I heard someone whistle, and as I turned around and I went to the house, I never saw, remember, hours, just hours before this, I called on the Lord. Prior to that, I was took out of a public house, a hell hole outside, a waiting room outside of hell. And whenever I went into that house, I never seen a curry out of drink like it. And I was offered, there you are, get you that in you. My brother was sitting in that company. I said, no. And I took the daughter home. I was asked the night prior to that, or sorry, the time by Stephen, you'll go to church. I believe the Lord gave me the grace to get out of that house. I've never touched drink since. Praise his holy name. Whenever, yes, I did. I went to church that night. And through sickness and not being able to get out of bed. There's only one Sunday I wasn't at the house of God since the 29th of March, 1998. Praise his holy name. What happened that night in that house? You see, in verse 1, here's what you read. And you hath he quickened. God. That word quickened meaning made alive. The Lord Jesus Christ had saved my soul. He had given me a new life, new heart, new direction. And now, as I have said, I've told you that there was a past, present, and future in these verses. Yes, in verse 2, where it says, in time past, you walked according to the course of this world. I walked according to the course of this world. Friday nights was lies and excuses, out of the house, not come back. Leaving a mother with children, and I didn't care what happened to him. If I did, I'd be there. It also tells us in verse 10 there, it says, this is no good works after salvation. It says there that we should walk in them. We're in the middle of getting ready for a children's mission. I now, on a Friday night, go out in the bus to reach children. I believe you see that as we reach out, as Jean reached out, as Stephen reached out, that they were rewarded. They were blessed for their labours. And as I have said again, there in the future, in verse 7, that in the ages to come, it should show forth the riches of his grace. Now, I have to ask you again, where are you in the passage? You ask yourself in your own heart. You see, as I have said, he that has quickened you. And here in the night, can I say, just a few more verses, I'll send me through, that, okay, I was in the kitchen, you might say, well, again, there's a fellow that knew what it was like. He was drunkard. He was in trouble with the law, and he was in prison and all the rest of it. Again, I might add to you, no, I mean, salvation is of the Lord. It is not an option. There is, as I pointed out, times people think they do good works. You know what I mean? Not of works, the Bible says, lest any man should boast. I would say here, and in Psalm 40, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my foot upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto your God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. You see, where must you go? You're here tonight, you maybe don't know, well, what do I do? Where was the price paid? It was paid at Calvary. Redemption was paid for his people on the cross at Calvary. And it tells us this here in Hebrews. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him the second time shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Again, I asked you tonight, in these verses, are you quickened? What way are you walking tonight before God? Are you walking according to the course of this word? Or can you say in your heart tonight that you are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus? Can you remember a time whenever you were born again? And as I've said present, that we should walk in them. How are you walking tonight? As I said now, and I close, I do not know. I don't know your heart here tonight. I do not know where you stand with the Lord. But just one verse I leave you with. Come now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Thank you for listening.
I want to thank Rodney for that word of testimony. Can I just say, if you want to have a word with Rodney, he'll be here at the end. Or if you're concerned about spiritual things yourself, or you want to speak to him about something he said, do feel free to have a wee chat at the end of our service. Can I just say to everyone, we have a lot of people have brought foodstuffs tonight, so they're sufficient for everybody. If you want to stay and have a cup of tea for a minute or two with us, or a drink of juice, so I can invite you all just to stay if you so wish to do so. It's up to yourself. We're just going to close now a wee word of prayer now. Gracious God, we thank you for thy word. We thank you for the power of the gospel and how the Lord Jesus Christ can save the vilest of sinners, the deepest of sinners. And we thank you, Lord, you can change each one of us by the power of the Holy Ghost. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the only way to heaven. Lord, tonight we pray that each one in this meeting here will trust in you. We pray, Lord, you'll draw them to yourself and save them. Lord, we accept our thanks for the food that's provided. We pray you'll bless it to us. and each one of us in your service, give journeying mercies to those who leave. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Did you get a token, young fella? Did you get one the last night you were here, Andy? That's all right. I was going to say you must have nearly two, Don. I don't know how many by now, anyway. How you doing? You know, thank you. Come have tea here. All right, Robert. How you doing, boy? Amy. Not that. Oh, maybe. Caitlin. Kay. Kay. T. I am. Caitlin O'Neill as well. You sure? There you are. Good girls. Can they stay in the morning night now? Are you? How you doing? Ach, how you doing?